get fucked up. Hi fam, it's Laura here. I have managed to royally mess up part of our audio recording. So for some reason, actually I know the reason, but I'm not going to disclose it because I would just be explaining how stupid I am, have managed to not record all of my own audio. So some of the episode will not be as wonderful sounding as usual. So most of it's pretty good. You can still hear everything. But yeah, I'm sorry. I will try not to do it again. Thanks. Bye.
Double, double, toil and trouble. Some topics discussed may make people uncomfortable. For fair is foul and foul is fair. On this podcast, we will definitely swear. A lot. Now round the cauldron go, trigger warnings listed in the notes below. Thrice and once the hedge pig whined, the cocktails cry, it's time, it's time.
By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes. Maiden, mother, crone. Plot twist, we're all the crone. The stories aren't all made up and the points don't matter.
Welcome listeners to The Weird Sisters, a podcast about the blurst and bizarre and all the things you are happier not knowing about.
One, two, three. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you both?
Rusty. Can't remember how to podcast.
Yeah, I know. It's been a hot minute. I don't know what to do. Spoiler alert, we record our episodes in advance. Mm-hmm. What a surprise. And we record a lot in advance because I went away for ages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's back now. She's back with us.
Yes.
She's here.
I have returned.
Mm-hmm.
We should explain who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? Why are you here? What are you doing?
My name is Tay. I am the coconut on an iced Vovo, and I am here to tell you some weird shit.
Yay.
Yeah.
That is nice. Nobody likes the coconut, though. I like desiccated coconut, but I know what Australia is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We're weird about it. Okay, what are you? Who are you?
Hi, I'm Lauren, and I am a two-headed fetus pickling in some VB.
I love it.
I have an interesting thing to tell you both. I wish Lacey was here because she would also love this, but I've also forgotten the name. I should tell who I am first. I'm sorry. But related to what you've said, I will come back to this. I am Laura. I am a megalania, a giant lizard that stalked the deserts of Australia. Yay. Anyway.
That's good.
I shouldn't slap the thing I've just had operated on. In the, 1950s and shit, in London, they were giving women this drug for nausea that basically meant their babies were born with no limbs. And my grandma took it for my dad. Oh, he has limbs, luckily. But apparently that's what I learned when I was away. Very interesting. Super interesting.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's wild, hey?
Yeah. There was a big thing on it not long ago.
Super interesting. Yes. But yeah, so that was cool. I can't tell you anything about it. I can't tell you how to Google it. Just Google limbless baby 1950s.
Yeah, that sounds
good. Drugs. Always throw drugs in there.
Metal. All right.
Yeah.
Interesting. What have you guys been doing before we get started?
I've been house sitting for you, looking after the little void bunny.
Yeah.
It's been really fun. He's very sweet.
He's a wanker.
Yeah, he did have a good chomp on my arm, but that's fine. That's
neither
here nor there.
Yeah, Tim told me that he fucking bit the shit out of you and you wouldn't talk to him for a day.
I got really grumpy with him because I was like, ah. Because I was just patting him very sweetly and then he did this amazing backflip and nipped me right on the wrist and I was like, okay, it's fine.
I've been preparing for uni. Yay for uni.
Ooh,
yeah.
So exciting.
Yes.
I've been reading so much. Oh God, I've read so many books this year.
You super have. Your Goodreads is full.
Is it?
To the brim.
I haven't even looked. I'm sorry. I'm trash.
Read books this year?
Yeah. I've read six so far. I'm reading two at a time. I can never commit to one book. I start reading one and then I put it down and then I say, hey, what about the rest of those ones? What's going on with the rest of the books? And then I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Oh,
it's
really
beautiful. I've been reading trash, but that's neither here nor there.
We love trash. Trash is fine.
I've been having a good time with my trash.
Mm-hmm.
We should tell some stories.
Neat.
Yeah. We should talk about things.
What's our theme this episode?
We decided, you may have already cottoned on from our introduction, we're doing an Australian edition. Because we were going to attend something for the bushfires, and unfortunately couldn't make it because Lacey is still in fucking hospital. But actually, she's been released today.
Yay!
Yes! Jailbreak!
So Lacey's out. She is, again, thoughts and prayers. Please be careful with them. Not too many. She will get too strong. But she's out. And we're going to go see her pretty soon and check that she's okay and report back. She still has her spine in a jar, I'm pretty sure. I don't think anyone's tried to take it from her.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. She's been having a great time. She told me some very intimate things that I really wish I could share because they're very funny, but I'll check with her before I tell the podcast.
We can have a story time. We should just have like a weird surgery episode. We all talk about our weird surgeries.
Yes.
That'd be really fun.
Yeah.
I want to talk more about my weird armpit friend. I always want to talk about him.
How's he doing?
He's all right.
Yeah.
Oh, scar's like solid, but like he's all right. The hair doesn't grow very well under that pit anymore, if you can see.
Oh, so wow. If you tried to grow some full pits of, you know, armpit hair, there would be one that had a little hole in it.
Yeah.
Aww.
This one's fine. This one's like meh. So we'll see.
You know, like when people get scars on their eyebrows and they have that tiny little bit missing?
Yeah,
it's going to be like that forever.
My cool, like, rebel pit.
Yeah.
Excellent. Beautiful. Truly beautiful. Mm. I have a story for you guys.
I'm ready.
It's Australian themed. Would you have guessed? But have either of you heard of Devil's Pool?
No.
Yes.
Oh, really?
The name is ringing a bell, but that is as far as I'll go.
Oh. I'm a little bit disappointed, but not really. It's fine.
I don't know what it is, but I've heard the name.
It's fine. It's fine. Okay, well, Babinda Creek, Babinda, which means water flowing over rocks in far north Queensland, flows down from Mount Bartle Ferrer.
Oh.
I Googled how to pronounce that. I'm still pretty sure I did it wrong. So in the future, I'm just going to guess again. I tried to take a leaf out of your book, I'm not fucking doing it because I'll just fuck it up anyway. It's Queensland's highest mountain. The creek passes through lush rainforest and strains out to the coast to reach the Great Barrier Reef. As it snakes through the rainforest, the bright blue waters tumble over a group of mammoth boulders. Babinda is one of Australia's wettest towns. It has 4,000 millilitres of average rainfall annually. The rain causes flash floods and pushes massive amounts of waters through the creek, and the speed of the water and the turbulence created by the wild landscape it flows over causes the water to be super, super oxygenated, words, which makes it really hard to float.
This isn't what I thought it was, but I like where this is going.
Very interesting. So I don't know if you knew this, but denser water, so like water that has no bubbles really in it, it's easy to float in. The more oxygen water has, the more difficult it is to float in. So like white water, you know, there's lots of bubbles. Yeah. That's what the water is white for, because it's all smashing and crashing over shit and moving very quickly. It's actually a lot harder to float in. So that's why white water rafting is very dangerous. And I'm not going to fucking do it. I don't want to die.
Scary. No, thank you.
Yeah. So we'll get to the thing I'm talking about. But side note, all of this reminds me of the Bolton Strid, which I thought is really interesting.
Yes.
I love talking about random shit when I'm not supposed to be talking about it this episode, but we're going to anyway.
Let's do elaborate.
I know. So part of the River Wharfe in the UK, it's like, there's a super small part of it, because it's such a big river that it has, like, multiple parts, and Bolton Strid is one of it. Basically, the river narrows from 27 metres wide down to, like, a step across. So, like, you could stand on either side at the same time. It's very, very narrow. But instead of it, like, just narrowing and being the same depth, it actually becomes super deep at this point, because all that water doesn't just dis-a-fucking-peer when it gets to that point. It just goes really, really deep. And basically is extremely dangerous because since it's so deep and flowing so fast and is undercut, so like the rocks kind of flow out from underneath, like the thing that you're standing on at the very edge is an overhang, basically.
A little crevasse.
Yeah, exactly. It's a super dark channel with very fast flowing water, and it's killed many, 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 many people, but there's no official record of how many.
So
I know, but locals basically are like, it's 100% mortality rate for anyone that tries to swim in it.
That is amazing.
Super cool. So yeah, we should talk about Bolton Strid in detail one day.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Also, this is cool. the Strid is immortalized in a short story called The Striding Placed by American author Gertrude Atherton in 1896. And it says, "There was no lonelier spot in England, nor one that had the right to claim so many ghosts, if ghosts there were." Yes, yeah, so that was cool. And completely unrelated to what we're talking about. But similar water.
Yeah.
So back to our Babinda Creek. The surface becomes still and becomes beautifully clear where a deep pool sits between the alternating smooth and sheer sides of these huge rocks. This is Devil's Pool. So it's one pool in this creek that is very specific. And 17 people have lost their lives here since 1959. So wow. 60 years, basically. And all but one of them have been young men.
Really?
Yeah. Very interesting. So there's a plaque that sits beside the waters that reads, "He came for a visit and stayed forever."
Oh, my God. That's metal.
I know, right? I was like, this is fucking sick.
It's like that Reddit thread, like, scary signs.
Yes.
They're just, like, really unsettling. That is so good.
It's very cool.
Yes.
I have seen that subreddit. I don't know if I'm subscribed.
It's
I want to be.
Good.
I want to be. So Peter McGann, 24, leapt the space between two rocks in 1979 and lost his footing. He disappeared. Police divers were unable to recover his body for 5 weeks and 5 days. The water was too deep, too cold, too fast. They went down 10 times before, just as they were about to give up the recovery effort, they managed to cut through the underwater logs of the pool and finally release Peter McGann's body.
Oh,
I know. It's like, I love the way they describe it is really cool as well. Like, I watched an interview with the guy that went down and diving for him. Basically, he was like, yeah, we couldn't find him or get to him until we cut these crazy underwater logs that had all been stuck there, because it's a very deep pool. And he was like, and the pool finally released his body. I was like, that's fucking sick.
It's like how the last couple of episodes we've done, there's always been like little police and like expert like quotes. So some of them are very poetic.
I know.
Like, very poetic.
Especially because this dude is like very Ocker Aussie. He's not like, he just looks like, you know, your small town country sheriff sort of dude. Typical Australian policeman. Except, yeah, he's just suddenly became Edgar Allan Poe when he was talking about this
Pulitzer
dude's body.
Pulitzer Prize-winning
car. Yeah. but, yeah. So in 2008, a 23-year-old naval seaman, James Bennett, had walked just beyond the safety rails to sit in the pool when a friend witnessed him get pulled backwards as if by an invisible hand.
Oh.
He reached up to grab at a branch and it snapped in his hand.
Oh, that's rough.
Oh, I keep getting, like, shivers.
Ooh. I know. Well, a friend stuck out his leg for James to grab onto, but he disappeared completely, and his body was found 3 days later floating downstream.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It's my worst nightmare.
I know, especially because, like, I don't know, I looked at photos of this over and over and was like, it's just a fucking pool. Like, it's just a pool of water. It's really beautiful. It's very, very beautiful. But, yeah, you're like, how can you lose a body for 3 days in a pool? Like, it doesn't seem... But obviously there's a lot of shit happening underneath that you can't see.
The Undertow.
Yes. Great, great album, by the way. I love you too. So an unnamed young couple was sitting in the pool when a flash flood swept over them. The young woman was found unhurt, but her male partner disappeared forever.
Forever.
Witnesses said the water rose by 1 meter in less than 15 seconds.
Oh, nope. My God.
Yeah. Nice. It's huge.
Don't like that.
Yeah, the way the rocks sort of sit funnels water really, like, intensely there. I watched another video from Message Stick, which was, like, a ABC program back in the day with, I think it dealt a lot with Indigenous Australians. And there was, like, a young man from a local tribe who was basically talking about, like, swimming there. They would go swimming there quite a lot, which seems fucking wild to me. But he was basically like, yeah, once you get in, there's, like, two ways to get out. There's a third way. If it's raining, that way disappears forever, though. And one of the ways is, like, you jump in the water and it immediately the current starts taking you away and you have to hold your breath and just let it take you along until it sort of pushes you out into these rocks. And if you miss it, you're fucked.
No.
Yeah. Boy.
That just sounds like... No, thank you.
Dumb young man shit. Like, fucking why? Why would you be like, that sounds like a great idea. Try this to, like, your friends and brothers. I'd be like, that sounds terrible. Never fucking do that. No, I don't want to die.
No, thank you.
So at the Devil's Pool, bodies are incredibly hard to recover. They're found smashed against rocks and logs, pinned and trapped underwater. Many are never recovered. They're often found spinning round and round in the water, like in a washing machine.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What an image.
I know. It's fucked up, hey? Divers have to attach ropes to the land and swim out to retrieve the bodies of the victims for their families.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's very sad.
It's a very unsettling image of it just spinning.
Yeah.
Right? It's very unnatural.
That's kind of thing you see in space.
Oh. No. That's
when they just float in space?
No, you spin if it's
got
the...
If you get momentum, you just infinitely spin.
Yeah, fair.
Love Death and Robots.
I've been told that that's inaccurate. You don't freeze in space.
Damn it!
Yeah, I know, I was very upset by that. I was like, what? No! I love it when she ripped off her own arm. Anyway, spoiler alert, sorry.
But recovery divers get paid so much money because it's so horrific.
Yep. A lot of the time they do lose their lives doing it, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's very, very dangerous to do. It's sad.
Yeah.
I'll stick to retail, thanks.
Okay, so why young men? Are they just dumber? Debatable.
Testosterone?
Maybe. Maybe. There is a legend that apparently explains why this happens. So the location is sacred to the Yidinji tribe. They're an indigenous community in North Queensland. There's a dreaming legend about a beautiful young woman, Ulana, who is chosen to marry a tribal elder, Rorunu. Since this is a legend, obviously she falls in love with someone else.
Yes.
Yeah, naturally, because that's just, it's like the whole, like, ghost showing up in a white wedding dress constantly. Mm-hmm. It's just the same fucking thing all over again. Anyway, she falls in love with this other dude called Daga. Ulana is married to the tribal elder, but shortly after she runs away with her forbidden love. They flee to the Babinda boulders, but they're pursued. As her love is dragged away, Ulana flings herself into the waters of the pool, refusing to accept life without her lover. The legend states that Ulana lures young men to their deaths, searching for the one she lost. There was a cool quote from Annie Wonga. She's one of the elders of this tribe. She said, every now and then she will call a wandering man to her, thinking it's Daiga.
Connection. That's a cool. There it is.
That's really cool.
So interesting.
Oh my
God. I know. They're so cool. They're
really cool.
So interesting. Mm-hmm. I think maybe Daiga jumped in after her and drowned as well. I don't know. Some versions seem to say yes, but other ones are like, don't even mention him. So I'm just like imagining him going like, oh no, standing to the side. But yeah, so that's really sad.
Solid.
Mm. Pretty crazy considering not all the men who have died at this place were even swimming when they died.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. The flash flood that claimed the life of the young man, but not his girlfriend. And their deaths go back way longer than 1959.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, heaps and heaps. The Khan's Post, thank you very much. I have beautiful, beautiful records for me to follow. Ooh. So I found two. One of them is from the 10th of June, 1993. It's titled Search Proceeding. This is the quote. Although it is practically a week since the unfortunate man, Mr. T. Winterbottom.
Laugh break.
Unfortunate indeed.
We didn't laugh at semen before.
No! When he said that, I know. I was
like, no, let's be adults. And then you said that.
Winterbottom. Oh, unfortunate. He was swept over the Barron Falls, and all likely places have been searched. The body has not yet been located. It is problematical as to where the body can be. Yeah, I double-checked that, but that's what they said. As the first pool under the falls proper is of a tremendous depth, and perhaps the body may be lodged in crevices or caves which exist beneath the water. Again, the body may be lodged in one of the crevices under the second pool. The search is being continued, and further search of Devil's Pool will be made. And then the 18th of November 1940, inquest at Atherton. A tragic story of an 8-year-old child, John Dominic English, who was drowned in Devil's Pool last Sunday, was retold to the police court at Atherton. And that was it. They just didn't have anything else for me to read there. But yeah, it's very sad.
Mm.
Yeah. And the only female victim in the last 60 years actually drowned further upstream than all 16 other men who were killed here.
The legend repeats.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, she's just going to, like, expand it. So the haunted pool has a lot of, like, ghostly photographs. Apparently it is haunted. A victim's father took a photo of the location his son disappeared, only to see his son's face in the swirling water.
Is that available online?
I tried really hard to find these photos and I couldn't find shit. So unless I just can't see them, or if these photos don't exist, which is possible... But a quote from the Brisbane Times, when the father came down, the police took him out and showed him where his son disappeared. He took the photo of that and he came back and they showed him where they had tied him up. Oh. Where they had him tied up there. What?
Oh.
Okay, anyway. And when he went over to Innisfail the next morning to get them developed, that's what they found. That photo, he's even got a cigarette in his mouth.
What?
I know. That's a very confusing quote.
Release the photos, you cowards.
Show me. Another image featured in a 2009 Khan's Post story says a face of a First Nations woman, supposedly.
Ooh. Because,
again, I could not find either of them.
Damn it.
I know, there was a lot of fucking hearsay in a lot of these stories. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of problems trying to find the shit. I was like, okay, cool. How about you tell me about any of the other 16 fucking people that drowned besides the two that I mentioned before, or the third even, the guy with his girlfriend. And there was just nothing. Nothing. Anyway, so since it's called one of Australia's most haunted locations, well, that didn't make sense. It is called one of Australia's most haunted locations. A woman can be heard calling in the dead of night. People who disrespect the site get fucked up.
Good.
Yes. So one example is that of a young man who was visiting the pool and decided to kick one of the signs. He then slipped and fell into the waters and drowned.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. There's a link. Like, they found this mentioned four or five times in these articles, and each of them links to an article that has nothing to fucking do with Babinda Creek or Devil's Pool. It talks about a totally different story and a totally different place. So I have no evidence this ever happened, but I wanted to tell you because the internet told me. The pool is now a no-go zone. It's got signs warning tourists to stay out of the water and to swim in the safe pools nearby. Naturally, everyone ignores them. If you put in the location on Instagram, you'll find heaps of fucking dickheads swimming in the place they're not meant to swim.
Yeah.
Yeah, the everything I found basically was just the same five facts repeated over and over again. I had to really search for a lot of this extra info. The only other deaths I could really find anything about was literally just a mention, and it's always in the same sentence. There was also a tourist in 2004 and a businessman from Sydney in 2006. That's it. So maybe this place is very dangerous. It sounds like it's very dangerous, but also maybe it's haunted, but also maybe there's a crazy legend about it. I don't know.
Either way, you won't catch me swimming in it.
So. I'm not fucking going there. The only thing I did find is apparently there's no crocodiles there.
What?
Which surprises me because it's North fucking Queensland. Mm-hmm. There's crocodiles everywhere. There's crocodiles when you lift up the toilet on the...
Yes.
Like, there's a crocodile there.
Side note, my dad works at a restaurant in Broome and there was a snake in the toilet.
Oh.
Not long ago, and I thought that was really funny.
Oh, do you know what kind of snake?
No, but it's one of the ones that likes to be in water. It's probably like a non-venomous one. Oh. I think those ones like water more so than the toxic ones.
I don't know, actually.
I don't know either. But like, that's who's just offhand. It's like, yeah, there's a snake in the toilet at work the other day. I was like, fucking hell.
Jesus Christ. Oh, funny you should mention my cousin took her kids to some beach in Western Australia. I forget which one she went to. I went to the beach a lot while I was away, but yeah, she went to one in Western Australia, and she's filming all the kids swimming in the pool. I've got to see if I can get this video of it because it's fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
All the kids are swimming. She's got like a 16-year-old daughter. They're all out there having a good time. And then all of a sudden they all run out of the water and she's like, what's going on? And her daughter, the 16-year-old, just goes, it's a fucking shark. It's just the most terror that you've ever heard. And apparently one of the dudes like dragged it out of the water, which really upset me. I was like, leave that fucking shark alone. What'd it do to you? So I don't know if they put it back, but I'm very sad about it. Now you all get to be sad too, that poor shark.
Oh, well. Oh,
boy.
It's a big one.
Oh, big one?
Yeah, it's a big one.
He just dragged it.
Yeah. There's a photo somewhere of him dragging it out of the water.
Oh, God.
What a fucking idiot.
Wow.
Anyway.
I've got a theory for the photograph.
Yeah?
I had to be a Dana Scully about it, but have you heard of that double exposure thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with a cigarette in his mouth,
you yeah.
think that maybe.
That's just what I was thinking as well, especially if it's like his dad's camera. What's to say there's not another fucking photo in the camera that he had taken?
I do want to believe that his face was in the water. That's
funny. I'm a salty Sally. I always ruin these things. It's like, I found myself whenever I like listen to the podcast, I'm like, it's just me going, listen to this cool thing, but it's not real. But also, this is what really happened. I have no fucking idea. But yeah. So it sounds like a really cool place. It's very beautiful. I got all my information from, naturally, Wikipedia. The day I don't mention Wikipedia is the day I give up on the internet. There was a good Guardian article, top10s.net. Townsville Bulletin articles, Brisbane Times articles, weirdaustralia.com, which was probably the best article I found.
Cool.
The Message Stick TV show, New York Times, and also lifeincairns.com.
She did go.
Yeah.
Right into that internet pool.
I tried fucking hard, people, to get you your shit, and there was nothing. So that's Babinda Creek and Devil's Pool.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, T.
Loved it.
Alrighty. Has anyone ever heard of the suburb of Westall?
Yes, I have heard of
Clayton.
Westall.
It's near Clayton.
Yeah.
Like near Moorabbin Airport. Have we heard of the Westall incident?
No.
And you hadn't, and I'm so excited. Alrighty. So, just start. Did anyone else hate PE as much as I did?
Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, every single lesson, like, for some reason they had this dumb thing. If you didn't want to participate, you had to just walk around the school, like, around the whole oval.
Mm-hmm.
I just go and smoke cigarettes and walk around the school, get Red Rooster. Mm-hmm. So actually, it was more detrimental to my health than anything else was PE.
I had a surgery when I was, like, 14 years old, and I just used that as an excuse all the way through high school. Like, no, my surgery.
It sounds like fucking, like, 1920s schoolgirls with male PE teachers. Yep. Like, it's my period. It's, like, every fucking lesson.
Yes. You're a health teacher. You should know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the best excuse to get out of PE, I think, is, like, the UFO in the sky.
What?
Yeah.
Are you fucking serious?
That was a shit segue, but we'll get there.
Well done.
So, April 6, 1966, a PE class at Westall High had their session interrupted by a UFO.
Wow.
Right? How's that for an excuse?
Yeah.
So, Westall, as I said, is like, it's like in between Moorabbin and Clayton. It's like around there. But back in the 60s, it was like all scrubby bushland, paddocks and stuff. It wasn't as like built up as it is now, because now like it's pretty much all that area is like university suburbs and stuff. But it wasn't just class 1A that saw the anomaly. The hysteria grew amongst like all the students, and some ran from the school, like, and some ran to the school, like, oh my God, there's something in the fucking sky. And then it was just bedlam from there. The entire school went fucking nuts. The kids were screaming. They were running back and forth. They were like running into the other just random classrooms, like, did you see the thing? And it was just like, it was fucked. It was literally mass hysteria.
Oh my God.
Teenagers are the easiest people to disrupt as well. Like, you just need to basically like throw a little piece of paper into the room and everyone's like, what the fuck?
There's a dog in the school. Oh my God.
Oh, dogs, fights, like anything interesting.
So good. So, everyone just came pouring out of the school onto the oval, because that's where the PE class was, and, like, there was this thing, this big silver disc just floating in the sky. Mrs. Robbins was Westall's chemistry teacher, and apparently, once all of this kind of broke out, she took a camera, I assume from, like, the media class, because it's, like, a film camera, and just started, like, snapping, like, because she was like, oh my fucking God, this is, like, insane. There was, like, one teacher who was on yard duty, and he was like, nah, fuck that, I'm going to go inside and get a cup of tea. And so he was just in the staff room while no one was in there, just like pottering around. And then the science teacher came running in, and he was like, did you see it? And he's like, see what? It's like the thing in the sky. And that just like, and then he could hear all the kids screaming.
Like, well, I was going to say, I love that like kids screaming is so normal. It is at any high school, realistically. I never went to a fancy high school or a private one. I went to a very shit school.
Mm-hmm.
But kids screaming was so normal that you would ignore it. Yeah. And a teacher would ignore it as well. It's like, I'm not dealing with that shit. I'm getting a tea, and I'm going to pretend that it's not happening.
Yeah, it's quiet in here. So they just, like, all of the recounts of this incident described the object as silver, circular and smooth, like a disc or a saucer. Like, think old school sci-fi, like, pulp from the 60s. Like, the saucer, the thing from space, it looks like that.
I love it so much.
What?
It's, yeah. And, yeah, they all referred to it as, like, a flying saucer. So the object then landed on the oval before ascending up to 50 feet in the air. And the wave of screaming children seemed to, like, disrupt it, and it shot off towards a nearby nature reserve called The Grange.
What?
There was another recount that it was chased off by 5 planes, because it's right near Moorabbin Airport, like, little planes.
True.
But there's no record of any of the pilots or those planes, like, leaving. So it is a bit, like, sketchy there, but a mob of screaming kids would scare me the fuck away too.
What's that fucking My Chem song, the one about teenagers?
I used to be like, that used to be my, like, yes, like, empowerment song, and now I'm like, no, mate, it's a fucking mood.
Yeah, you are terrifying.
Yes.
There is no one more obnoxious on earth than teenagers.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
We used to be them, we know.
Yep.
So The Grange was, like, a favourite spot for, like, mischief amongst the students, because it was, like, a nature reserve, just like over a paddock near the school, so like they would go there after school and like be general hooligans, smoke cigarettes and whack things with sticks and shit. It's a cigarette, there's nothing else to do.
Yeah. Fornication and hitting shit with sticks.
Yes.
Which is also kind of what you could use to describe fornication.
So the students like ran from the Oval towards the Grange, like, because they're like, oh, we know where that's going, off we go. And everyone's like, no, don't run towards it, stop, stop. And they just, off they go. Don't give a fuck. They're going to run.
I hope those kids disappeared and no one ever heard from them again.
Well.
Oh!
We'll get there. So there's, like, a fence around the Grange, like, because there's, like, ways to get in, but they all just, like, hopped it. They just got straight over the fence.
I can't hop, like, a 2 feet tall fence.
These kids, like, they sound like they're, like, rabid dogs. They're just, like, nothing will get...
Teenagers are fucking superhuman, because they bounce and shit, they break an arm, they're like, ugh, put it in a cast for 2 weeks, it's fine. Like, fucking teenagers. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I used to be able to jump stuff. I used to, like, throw myself off trees and be fine. And now I'm like, I'm scared to step funny in these shoes because I might break my ankle.
I slept funny on my pillow and now I can't move my head for 3 days. Yeah, so once the children began to, like, approach the object, it once again, like, rose. Like, because it had landed. And because there's, like, this massive, like, knee-high... tall grass, and it had, like, flattened it in, like, all these, like, weird swirly patterns. It was really cool. I thought the fact that they were, like, the grass was swirled was, like, a dope little thing. But yeah, once the kids were, like, we're here, it was, like, nah, fuck this, and off it went again. It's, like, trying to, like, get it down. It's, like, oh!
It's also frightened of the children.
Yeah. So Jacqueline Argent, one of the curious students, and her friend Tanya were some of the first ones onto the Grange when it landed. Tanya ran ahead of Jacqueline through the trees because she was like, I gotta fucking see this. And Jacqueline's like, wait up, wait for me. And so she, like, kind of ran out of sight through the trees. And then when Jacqueline, like, got to her, she was just on the ground. She was, like, collapsed. Like, she saw it land, apparently. And then the, like, sheer, like, moment, like, the presence of the moment just made her, like, faint. Wow. And a bunch of other kids fainted too. Like, they were just, like, dropping like flies. Right?
This is wild.
Right? And then, yeah. So, like, kids are just on the ground. They're like, fuck. So, like, ambulances were called and stuff. And so they, like, got all of the, like, half-conscious kids back to the school. And Jacqueline watched her friend be loaded back into the ambulance. And that was the last time she ever saw her. She never went back to school.
Oh, my God. Yes.
What the fuck?
And that's, like, a direct quote from her is, like, she was just gone. And she never came back. That's, like, verbatim what she said in the interview.
Did she, like, hunt down her parents, talk to them? We don't know.
I don't know. There's a bunch of interviews with her. She's, like, quite vocal. She's, like, one of the, like, ones that there's... If there's ever an interview about this, she's always there. But, yeah, she's just, like, we never saw her again. So I have no idea. But, like, I assume if she went missing, some of the other kids definitely went missing too. Like, if all these kids are laid in the back of the ambulance, the ones that fainted, they came in contact with it and they're off just gone.
I always feel weird about those people. Those people that, like, are always there and ready for an interview. I'm like, do you just want attention? Or, like, I always believe the gruff fucking, like, weird farmer man that's just, like, nobody... He never talks to anyone. And then one time someone managed to, like, basically ply him with enough beer and shit and cookies to be like, well, I was outside. And there was a big old thing in the sky. And that's it. That's all he ever said. Yep. But I believe that guy 100% over the chick that's, like, always in front of the camera, like, it was amazing. You're like, fuck off, Karen.
Well. So, like, everyone's, like, super perplexed by this. Like, but they're also, like, just really terrified. Because, like, big UFO, it's spooky shit. Like, it's I'm terrified.
Aliens are scary.
Yeah, I'm terrified of aliens, but I always read up on it. And then every time I read up on it, I think that someone's going to, like, I'm like, oh, like, I'm reading about this thing lately. The alien's going to come and get me because I'm reading about this very second.
Do you believe in aliens normally?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes. Like, like, all versions? Or are you, like, quite, I believe in this type of alien?
Oh, no. Like, the universe is too big to believe in one type. There's something out there. I don't know what it is. Whether it's, like, the thing from Annihilation and it just sings.
I
and
love
it,
that. Ooh, that'd be cool.
I watched it twice while I was here. Or if it's like the little grey men, like what do they call them? Just grey
skin.
Greys.
Which are really fucking scary.
Yeah, they're kind of creepy.
Yeah. Or if it's like Kang and Kodos, like, I don't know. Like, the universe is too fucking big to be like, oh, it's only a grey skin that exists. Like, nah, mate, Cthulhu's out there. He waiting.
Yeah.
Watch Lore Out of Space, by the way. I need someone to discuss.
Yes.
I tried to yesterday, and they just cancelled it.
Oh.
The Lido?
Yeah, bullshit. Oh. Absolute bullshit.
Lido,
Nick Cage is fucking weird. I love him. It's great to watch.
I'm
so excited
to
see
time.
It.
I want
to
see it really bad. I need to do, like, just
a movie episode.
Because I want to talk about The Lighthouse.
Just, so we watch these films.
Yes. And they were fucked up. anyway, so yeah, like the principal of the school, like, called like this emergency meeting with the teachers, and he had like an emergency assemblies, like, to the teachers, like, what you saw didn't happen. Tell the kids it didn't happen. Like, you have to tell them this way. It's a weather balloon. Like, fuck you. It's not real. It's like, I don't want to deal with this shit. And all this, and all the teachers, and like a bunch of the teachers, like, obviously, like, they were in their prime in the 60s. So, like, they did it now. But, like, a lot of, there's a couple that are still, like, around and kicking. Like, the one that was
like, what, 40 years ago now?
Yeah. Like, yeah. The dude that,
No. 60 years ago now.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I just did my math. I was like, yeah, that's 40 years ago. No, it's not. It's 60 years ago. It was 1960.
Wow.
I want to scream. So, like, one of the interviews I watched, there was one of the teachers, the one that was, like, kicking it, making his cup of tea in private. Like, he, at the time of the interview I saw, he was still kicking. And he the was, hero. Like, and he was like, no, it was a thing. But, like, we were told to be quiet about it. And a bunch of other teachers were like, yeah, and it's just like,
how bad do you need your job security?
Right?
I'd be like, fuck, there's no way to tell everyone.
Yeah, but like, yeah, so they were just like, don't tell anyone, don't talk to the media. And then the kids were also told in the, like, assembly, like, don't talk to the media. Like, oh. you do not talk to anyone, don't talk about it in school grounds, don't do anything. It was a weather balloon. Shut up.
Why does the school care so much? Unless they're getting pressure from outside. That's the only thing I can think of, hey.
Well.
I just made my own. That's a good question. Okay.
So, yeah, once the, like, all that was kind of, like, quietened down a little bit, like, police rocked up, along with, like, a bunch of crews from, like, major Australian news sites, or news sites, news stations.
The internet did not exist that day.
Yeah. So Miss Robbins, the chemistry teacher from before, who took all those happy snaps, an unknown man accompanied by a police officer, like, approached her and was like, give me the camera. Like, not just the film. Give me the whole fucking camera.
Oh.
And she was like, what? And he's like, no, you have to give me this camera. And he confiscated and like any kind of like evidence around the school, like it was just taken. Like, whoa. The police rocked up with all these people that people, no one knew who they were. And they just took everything.
That's aliens. Whoa. It was aliens.
Yeah, it was aliens.
It was aliens.
Yeah. And then the students were like, again, like they were ordered to speak to the media, like anybody even like don't. And then after school ended that day and all the news crews were still there, like, it was, like, a foot outside the gate and they were, like, with microphones, what did you see? What did you see? What did you see? What happened? And some of the students were, like, nah, told not to. And then, like, all, like, the shit-eating grin, like, mischief makers that were all in these interviews were, like, oh, no, I talked to them. I was, like, oh, hell yeah. So a few of the, like, students, they did stop, and then a school representative, like, ran out and was like, stop. No, like, stop this interview now. And then the police also stepped in, were like, nah, mate, can't interview these kids, get out, and stuff like that. Everyone was just trying to keep, like snuff this hysteria so quickly, like, no, it didn't happen. And any of the students that spoke to the media, they were given detention for, like, weeks.
Oh!
Wow.
Yeah. Like, super punishment for like talking, like no, don't
what
do that
shit,
right? And then in the days following the incident, a military presence had gathered around both the paddocks behind the school and the Grange. So like proper, like the Air Force was there, like dudes in like military greens.
Holy shit.
Like were like guarding the area.
I love this.
And there
I
was
this,
I
love this.
So there was like there was a university student who was, like, super interested in what was going on. I can't remember his name, but he's in some of the interviews. And he had gone there to, like, look after. He's like, oh, I've got to check this out. And there was, like, all of these soldiers, like, no, you can't, like, get the fuck away. You can't come into this area. This is, like, you have jurisdiction here. And it was, like, and then he said that he saw all these, like, scientists with, like, giga counters. Like trying to, like, measure shit and, like, trying to, and testing the soil. And then after the military presence left, the entire scrubland was burnt.
Oh!
Everything was torched. Like, why would they torch it if it wasn't aliens? yeah. And then, so any visual evidence was lost. Like, the big, like, the because there was circles, like, crop circles, like, in the tall grass, and they were all gone. Everything was gone. 4 days before the incident occurred, a man in a Melbourne suburb not far away took a photo of something in the sky that matched the description
exactly.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Does the photo still exist?
Yes. Oh! See our Instagram for more details.
Very nice, well done.
Yeah, so not gonna lie, it looks a little bit like a silver medal teddy.
Yeah.
Because what every recount of all the witnesses watching it fly, like it laid flat as it floated, and then when it shot off, it would turn on its side and shoot off. So it literally looked like a titty, which I think is really funny, but I think it's kind of taking away the seriousness of the situation, but also I don't care because it's funny. Yeah, so that was like pretty wild that like 4 days before that happened, and it's just like, it's very much aliens. It's aliens, dude. I'm just going to keep saying it's aliens. It's aliens. Yeah, so also, if you don't remember, you do remember, I just said her name before, Jacqueline.
Yep.
And her friend Tanya.
Yep.
Who went missing. So Jacqueline was summoned to the principal's office a couple of days after the incident, and she was, like, interviewed by, like, these two strangers, but she called it more like a confrontation rather than a conversation.
Okay.
So they were pretty much, like, essentially they were just, like, gaslighting her to fucking hell. And they were, like, really aggressive and, like, condescending and telling her that they knew what she saw wasn't what she saw. Like, we suppose you think what you saw was alien. We suppose what you think you saw was a flying saucer. Like, wow. They were super aggro. And she, like, in the interview, she was like, yeah, I left the room afterwards and just cried.
Wow. Because
just, like, this like, 13, 14-year-old girl just, like, being accosted by these two men, being like, you're an idiot. You didn't see what you saw. This traumatic event that took your friend is not real. And she's like, oh, like, that's fucked up.
That is so right? fucked up. That's actually quite upsetting.
It's really upsetting.
Yeah, but, like, genius move if you need to make sure that she doesn't fucking tell me.
Yeah.
Except she did.
Yeah, it didn't work, did it? And so, like, many of the students are still, like, searching for answers now. Like, they have, like, school reunions, but it's for, like, the alien again.
The alien event.
Basically, they had their, like, 50th anniversary, like, party for it, like, in 2016.
Oh.
Which is pretty wild. And, yeah, they just, like, all get together and, like, talk about, like, do you remember how this happened and la la la.
So they all, like, are like, yeah, it happened.
Yeah.
So there's no one that's, like, a student that's, like, they're full of shit.
Yeah. Like, even, like, because there's, well, I got most of this info from a documentary that was made a little while ago. It's an excellent documentary.
What's it called?
It's called Westall 66, oh, God. Westall 66, like, an incident or, like, a something. It's, yeah, I
Google.
Will.
Story.
Yeah.
Google
yeah.
will
say. Yeah. It could be a story, but it was produced by, I want to say, like, the ABC, but I don't know. But it's been, like, shown on the Sci-Fi Channel on Foxtel a couple of times. But the whole thing's on YouTube. I'm going to link it. It's going to be there. I will send it to both of you. Wow.
Thank you.
It's kind of funny, too, because it's, like, very silly at times. Like, there's the dude who's, like, the forefront of the documentary that's, like, trying to figure everything out has, like, a big list at one point. He gets a big fat marker and, like, crosses things out, like, very theatrically. It's very funny. But, yeah, so there's, like, I forgot what I was saying. Fuck, I was just... It's so ridiculous him just like crossing that fucking stuff. Oh god. I'm gonna listen back to this when I'm enjoying this fully editing, like, you fucking idiot. I know what you were talking about. See, we are again very rusty.
No, we are professional mm-hmm. and genius at this.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, so in the documentary they show like one of the reunions and everyone's just like, yeah, yeah. And like there was comments on the video who like, oh yeah, like I lived in the area at the time and I didn't go to that school, but like all my friends knew about it and we used to talk about it all the time. Like it wasn't just the school that saw it, like locals also saw it too.
Oh.
So this is like the largest mass UFO sighting in Australia. Over 400 people saw this thing.
Fucking hell.
This absolutely happened.
Yes. No, it super did. And like it was like this massive cover up. Like the government's like NASA, but like they didn't count for the internet in the 60s. So, uh-oh. it was also investigated by the Victorian Flying Saucer Something Society.
There's one of those?
Yes, so they're not called that anymore. But it was very, like, that that book, like the Potato Peel Society, like very like long and very like bloody. That was very sweet.
I'm literally reading that right now.
Really? That's very cool. And there's footage in one of the documentaries I watched of like all these little old ladies in the 60s, like their Sunday best on and their belts and their gloves and their hats. And they're like, oh, no, yes, UFOs exist. And it's like, fucking love you so much. Gladys, aww, you're the one. But yeah, the documentary that I watched is great. Like, I've watched it a couple times before, but I went back and watched it properly and like took notes and stuff and blah, blah, blah. And it's just really well done because like, there's a really cool way, because like in normal like documentaries, there's just like a footage reenactment. All the reenactments in this are charcoal drawn stop motion.
Oh, that's cool.
And it is so unsettling. It is so eerie because it's literally like drawn. A frame is drawn, it's rubbed out and then drawn again, and then the smudges will move with the it's really cool. It's really cool. It's really cool, but it is so unsettling. It's very spooky. There's like a picture book, a very famous Australian one called The Water Tower. And it's very weird and unnerving. It's like an X-Files episode. And it had the same feel to it. And I was like getting really like, ooh, because I was watching it last night again at like 1 a.m. And I was like, nah, dude. Turn it off. But yeah, like there's also a National Geographic interview with a couple of the ex-students, Jacqueline, a couple of the teachers, which is a bit more updated. But it still like covers all the same stuff, which is really cool. But yeah. Wow. Aliens fucking shit up in Clayton. Which also, I like this story because it's really close to home, because yeah, it's like the eastern suburb.
They exist and they exist here.
Yes, you do. That's dope. But yeah, that's my story.
Oh, very nice.
Love it.
Thank you.
Big fan.
Fucking aliens, dude.
Yeah.
Aliens are one of those things that like a lot of the encounters that I like read about are one of those things where I'm like, nah, that's kind of dumb. I don't believe it was aliens in this scenario. But then other ones I'm like, ooh, I don't like it. It's scary. Yes. They're real.
Oh, it's so spooky. It's, I love
very
it.
Very upsetting. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, okay.
Moving now on.
It's down to you.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Welcome to this.
It's so unsettling.
So I don't know about you guys, but when I was in primary school, we went on a camp out near, you know, where the bush is, and the teachers would like take us out for a little bit of a walk, and then they would just be like turning to us and going, okay guys, so you gotta watch out for drop bears, because they're gonna come out of the trees, they're gonna cling to your face, and I'm not exactly paraphrasing here, but they'll fuck your shit up, they'll maul you, and and then we would hear rustling from the bushes. And we would get super freaked out, and then one of the other teachers would burst out, and they would be like, aha, we got you, drop bears aren't real, and they would do this all the time. But my first time, I had no fucking idea what a drop bear was, because no one ever told me until then, so I thought I was going to die.
Yeah. It's a teacher, you kind of have to give them the benefit of the doubt most of the time, because like, it's a teacher.
Exactly. And before I launch into this, I just want to say, this goes to show that Australians will do anything for a gotcha moment.
Fuck yeah, we will. I have done this to countless tourist friends of mine. Like, every time I go overseas and I go to a hostel and I start talking to people, I try and, like, subtly just throw it in. Then you'd be like, yeah, but you can't go camping anymore because of the drop bears. It's pretty bad now. You just, just leave it and just wait. And then eventually someone will be like, what did you say? You're like, oh.
Plant the seed in their mind.
And then you get, like, indignant about it. You're like, you don't know about our national crisis? Like, are you fucking serious? We're not some backwater slum. Jesus Christ. We're a country. Yeah, I love it. Good. It's my favorite thing.
Oh, man. So, yeah, drop bears are a tool to trick children and tourists into being scared of the wrong thing when you're out in the bush.
True.
They're described as koala-like predator, which... when feeding, they drop from the canopy above, which you guys obviously know this, I hope.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Yes, very well versed in this.
And, yeah, they attack their prey by fastening onto them with their claws and starting to feed on them while they're still alive.
Love it.
Oh, God, I hate these notes.
Big munch.
It's one of my favourite things. Again, we did man-eaters last week. A month ago. But I always love, like, it's fucked up. It's one of those things, again, it's like we're talking about how you have preferences for the type of weird shit that you like. Mm-hmm. I always like when there's a monster or something that, like, eats you while you're still alive. Because that sounds fucking horrific.
It does. It's like in Jurassic Park. You're alive when they start to eat you. It's like, oh! Four-year-old me's like, fuck you! Yeah. Favourite fucking movie as a kid. It does a lot, doesn't it?
Eat you from the butt best. Up.
Mm-hmm. So, they... apparently, according to a hoax article, can fall up to 8 meters and still survive.
Oh.
I've got a lot of hoax article things in here because there's two that I found, which are like the main ones, which are the main, like, drop their hoax articles, which one is from Australian Museum, the other one is from Australian Geographic, and they have such specific details. The fake scientific name is Thylactus plummetus.
Excellent. It's okay. Really good.
It was the best news to hear that. But they apparently have powerful arms for climbing and clinging onto prey. They have apparently no canines and instead use premolars to tear into any unlucky passers-by.
Ooh.
Although many of the edited pictures that you see online disagree, because, like, yeah. People put massive canines on them and smear blood around their face and Photoshop.
Like, shark shop. Jaws and shit. Op-shop.
Op-shop.
Ring and slip.
That's what I'm thinking about at any given time. They can apparently weigh up to 120 kilos.
Ooh, fuck.
Yeah.
Finally something that weighs more than I do.
Just say the same thing. Oh, God.
But the best thing is to look up the folk remedies that people give out to people, because, like, there's the classic ones, which are, like, putting forks in your hair and smearing toothpaste or Vegemite behind your ears.
You've got to use the Vegemite, yes. Vegemite is the only true way to be sure.
Surely that would attract them, because, like, my cat used to go fucking nuts for Vegemite. Like,
really?
So, like, I would open the jar and he would know what the jar sounded like and he would just come galumphing from, like, his lair behind a curtain.
Yes.
He's like, yeah. Basically, he would just scream for it. And then if I was eating toast on the couch, he would, like, claw his way up my chest toward and try and eat it out of my mouth.
Like, cats are fucked. They are inhuman. Yes. Something's wrong with it. Well, obviously they're not human, but, you know.
But I would much
they're inanimal.
I'd be much more repelled by, like, toothpaste and Vegemite, because I'd be the same. I'd be like, fucking A.
Yeah.
Give me toothpaste some of that sweet, sweet black tar.
God, I hate the feeling of it underneath my armpits.
I can get into it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Imagine how, like, yeah, sticky you'd be under there. Would you be sticky or would you be more, like, greased?
Maybe greased.
If it was from Vegemite?
If it was paste, you'd be, like, sticky, but I think the grease...
Yeah. Toothpaste would be uncomfortable and would chafe. So Vegemite, again, the way to go.
It's all terrible. It's all just the worst.
I'd slather myself in Vegemite. I think for shit.
Oh, this one was my favourite one. You can lay under a tree and spit up, and knowing if the bear spat back, then you're in danger.
Spit up, so you spit on your own face.
Oh, God.
There's the rumour that they mostly attack tourists, so you have to speak in an Australian or English dialect. You can piss on yourself. I had a babysitter once who told me that if one is clinging to your face, you have to smash your head against a tree to break its spine, so it'll drop off.
A babysitter told you this?
Yeah, I had a weird babysitter.
Fucking hell. You had a very strange childhood. I love all... You just come out with some stories sometimes, and I'm like, I get whiplash, and you just keep moving on. And I'm like, no, go back to that. Go back to the weird babysitter.
Tell us more about this fucking person who's supposed to take care of you.
It's like a horror movie babysitter.
Oh, another time. But, that was very interesting, hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
There's that video that surfaced, like, this year, I think, during the bushfires, where they had that Scottish reporter wear a bunch of protective stuff to handle the drop bear, in quotations, on the news.
That's really funny.
And she was wearing the goggles, the heavy-duty gloves, the massive shoes, and the protective suit.
Did she have, like, a gridiron, like,
shoulder
pads on or something? I was like,
she would have actually belonged on a black metal fucking cover.
Yeah, like a guar character.
And where the guy's introducing it, he says that they have venom and it's the third most common injury for tourists in Australia to be attacked by a drop bear. Oh, God.
Our sense of humour as a nation is kind of fucked up.
It really is. Oh, yeah, and she was told beforehand that they can sense if you're worried.
I think that about every animal I'm scared of. Yeah. Every animal I'm scared of is like, it can sense it.
Yeah.
Like, after... Barnaby bit me, I was like, he can sense that I'm spooked.
He can. He knows. That's when he charges at you.
Yeah, because he used to do that a lot, and I would be like, oh, I would just, like, freeze, because I'm like, if I don't step right, I'll step on him. I was so scared.
The amount of times I think I'm going to fucking step on that small fucking animal. Oh my god.
I think about it every time I come here.
Little bean.
Ooh. All things considered, though, there is some scientific evidence suggesting that the legend may have sprouted from a creature from around the time of the last ice age. It's a long shot, but you know, I'm going to go into it anyway. Ooh. So, oh fuck, I didn't look up how to pronounce this.
That's all right, just go for it. Yep. Don't even think about it.
The style we're taking here.
It's been named Thylacoleo. Yep. Thylacoleo carnifex, which is T H Y L A C O L E O. Thylacoleo.
Oh, that's very awkward of you. Thylacoleo.
I've never heard you have an Australian accent. I know. I've known you until this moment.
Wow.
You have like television from the 60s Australian accent.
Yes, you do. Guys. You have a news reporter television accent.
Oh, you guys are too good to me.
Oh. So, anyway, tell us more about Thylacoleo.
Thylacoleo. Okay. Marsupial lion is its other name, and it shares several attributes with the koala.
Sorry, I couldn't let that go. That
was
funny.
Wow. Now this is just bordering on bullying.
Yeah. I have two sisters who are younger than me. My only way of showing affection is to be nasty to you and possibly physically assault you.
And she's just come back from visiting them, so it's still ingrained in her blood.
It really is. Both of my sisters will tell you how terrifying it was to have me in the same state as them again.
She's back.
The sense of disturbance in the fall.
So they share the same skull shape and shearing teeth instead of grinders, which is very interesting. The key difference is that this one is carnivorous, and it has paws that are perfect for climbing trees and attacking large prey. Which the pictures are really nice. Check out our Instagram.
Imagine, yes. Like a sloth bear.
It kind of looks like that. It's pretty big. And
I love megafauna. It's like,
I know. It's so cool. I really wanted to do Megalania when we were doing this, but there was so much information. I was like, I'll save that for another time because it was supposed to be relatively short.
Should do a megafauna episode.
We should. Oh, that'd be amazing. Oh, so from bones found in their former habitat, they've been able to determine.
We rusty. We fine.
That they were big fans of flesh and viscera, and about 50,000. Years ago, when people first arrived on the continent, the Thylacoleo was still alive and well. And it has been suggested that some art from back then may have been of the animal.
Ooh.
Coincidence?
It's really dope.
So that could be connected. Although drop bears are a 28th century idea, it's possible.
There's some truth to them.
Rule it out.
Okay, I won't say anything.
She wants to say something.
Keep in mind that I want to believe, so...
Yes, you believe all you want.
Tear me down. Do it.
You are the Mulder. Spooky Mulder.
Thank you. So...
There's tears in her eyes. She's so happy.
She's so joyful.
This is the best day of my life. So apparently, there's a movie coming out in 2021 called Drop, which is based around the concept of the Drop Bear.
Oh, I love it. I hope it's like big budget.
Did you ever see Boar? It's it's an Australian horror film, and it's got Ricky from Geordie Shore in it, and it's I can't remember his name. He's in like every Rob Zombie film. He like plays the head of the family in Thousand Calls. Bill
he's
something.
He's died recently, hasn't he?
That's what's his name. Yeah, what's his name?
Not Daddy Firefly.
Not the clown.
Yeah.
The one with the really stringy hair.
Terrible. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. So he actually plays like a normal family man, which is the most terrifying role I've ever seen him in.
Yeah,
but it's like a horror film set in Australia, and it's about a massive boar, and it's so much fun, and it's so gory and silly.
We have to watch that.
The boar also looks excellent. Like the practical effects on the boar are chef's kiss.
Practical over CGI every time. Yes. I'm sorry. I love practical effects.
But I hope that it's in the same vein as that because it'll be excellent.
I hope so as well. I saw Bill,
I don't know his name. I think it's Bill something, like Mosby or like something Mosby. Not that's I don't know.
That just makes me think of Ted from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Ask me how I remembered that fucking terrible character's name.
I'm furious that I don't remember his name. But anyway.
Yeah. Big tangent.
Our film. The film. The 21. Film.
I saw the poster on Wikipedia, and it is so fucking funny.
Yes.
The tagline is "Come a waltzing."
Yes. Yeah. Fuck. That's the Oscar-winning film for that year. I don't give a fuck. I'm saying it now. drop. Yes.
They didn't need to do anything else for that film. They could have had the shittiest writer on that because that tagline is enough. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I've got a feeling it's going to be a little bit of a shitty writer because I watched the trailer and I'm still a little bit convinced that it may be a joke. Like, at any moment now, someone's going to call psych. But
please make the film. Please do it.
I hope it exists. I hope it's actually a big budget film with, like, amazing... I want Hugh Jackman in it.
Yes.
I think there's someone famous in it.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, often.
I want Chris Hemsworth in it.
Yes. I want everyone.
All our Australian gold.
Toadie from Neighbours.
Yes. Oh, Toadie.
And that's a wrap on Drop Bears. But I have my...
Sources
here. Oh yes, here they are. Australian Museum, of course. Australian Geographic, Wikipedia, Times Two.
Thank you.
Times Two.
Times Two. Yeah.
I had a good time listening to you talk about Drop Bears.
It was so good. So fucking funny.
There's like a surprising wealth of fun shit to talk about when you like look at Australia. There were so many that I wanted to do. There was this really fucked up one, a Luna Park fire and like possible demonic thing there, but I thought since we were supposed to be researching this episode in order to talk about Australian bushfires, I was like, that's a bit on the nose.
Yes,
that's a bit upsetting. But sometime I really want to cover that. Mm-hmm. Should make Australia a regular appearance.
Yes, please.
Especially because they're not talked about a lot in these sort of podcasts. Like
the EMU war.
They're a bit too weird and small. People are like, no.
I love it. Excellent.
Oh, good times. We did so good.
Yeah, we did all right.
Yeah.
I'm happy with it.
We're getting back into the swing of it, guys. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
You can find us on our socials, our Weird Sisters Cast on Twitter and Weird Sisters Podcast on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys. Pray for Lacey. She is getting better. She's recuperating at home now. We're hoping that we may be able to record the next episode with her.
Mm-hmm.
If not... we're just going to bully La into helping us because she's been fabulous and so helpful and so, such a treasure.
I've got our claws in you now, like a drop bear. Can't get away.
I love that analogy.
Smash our spines against a tree, we'll never let go.
It's like an ant head. Yeah. Fry the body up. It's beautiful. Cheers, fam.
All right.
Yeah, tune in next week. Bye.
Bye now. Hi guys, just wanted to wish our dear witch sister Lacey get well soon. If you'd like to leave her a get well message, you can find us at Weird Sisters Cast on Twitter and Weird Sisters Podcast on Instagram. But don't leave her too many comments because then she will get too strong and devour Laura and I like the stronger twin in the womb. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I'm going to have to do this again. We'll retake.